السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الخلق وسيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم إلى نور الفهم، وأكرمنا بمعرفة العلم، وزين أخلاقنا بالحلم، يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين آمين. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم انفعنا بكلام نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم انفعنا بها وارفعنا بها واهدنا بها وأصلحنا بها. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واجعل محبتك ومحبة نبيك محبة تنجينا بها يوم الدين. اللهم اجعل محبة نبيك مغنية لنا عن شر الأشرار وكيد الكائدين وعن شر البلاء. اللهم اجعلها دافعة للبلاء عنا. اللهم يا رب ندفع الهموم والغموم عنا ببركة حب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ادفع الفتن عنا ببركة حب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم احشرنا في زمرته وتحت لوائه، وأسقنا من يده الشريفة شربة لا نظمأ بعدها أبدا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يعمل بسنته ويقتفي أثره يا رب العالمين. Oh Allah, we call upon you, pray to you, beseech you, we ask you to bless us with your love and the love of your Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Allah, we ask you to make the love of your Prophet a means for trials being pushed away from us and difficulties being made easy for us. We ask you, Allah, to fill our hearts with the love of your Prophet. Allow us to connect with his words. Make his words and his actions a guide for us in our lives. Make his words and his actions a means for our betterment, a means for our steadfastness, a means for our protection from difficulties and afflictions. We ask you, Allah, to remove grief and concern by the blessings of love of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask you, Allah, to remove grief and concern and to remove trial and affliction by the blessings of being committed to the path of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Make us of those who embrace his sunnah, love his sunnah, live by his teachings. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ameen, ameen. And we ask you, Allah, to better the conditions of the Muslims in the East and West, and to give victory to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Gaza. Give them aid over their oppressors. And we ask you, Allah, to make their hearts firm and to aid them with your angels, and to bring the swift demise of the oppressors. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ameen, ameen. Amma ba'd. We're going to be starting the first section in Riyad al-Salihin, which is about al-Ikhlas. And the name of the section in Arabic is Bab al-Ikhlas wa ihdar al-niyya fi jami' al-a'mali wal-aqwal al-barizati wal-khafiyya. He says in English, this is on the virtue of sincerity and having your intention in all actions and all statements, whether apparent or hidden. If you look at the English translation, there is a slight variation. First off, I'm on page 37 in the book, which he lists as lesson 2, where in actuality, in the actual Riyadh, the section on Ikhlas is section 1. What's the reason for this? We said last time that this abridgment is by the works of one of the scholars of the past, Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani. And in this abridgment, he did not, of course, he mentioned some of the hadith and he added his own additions as well. So this is why you'll find the English translation a little different than the actual Riyad al-Salihin that was written by Imam al-Nawawi. This abridgment's going to help us. For example, in lesson 2, there are a total of six hadiths that he mentions. Six hadiths that I could see mentioned in lesson 2. And in the actual Riyad al-Salihin, there are a total of 12 hadith mentioned. So for us to explain the full Riyad al-Salihin, it will take a very long time. This abridgment came in 600 pages. So it's a very big book, right? So we're going to be making a lot of use of it, but some things that weren't mentioned in here, I will mention them from the original book instead. And some changes that he made here, like for example in lesson one, he made it about درسٌ في الإسلام والإيمان. And he mentions the hadith of Jibreel. I'm not going to go over that section. I'm going to skip over that section and stick to the order that Imam al-Nawawi had for this book. So I will be using both the original text and the abridged version. The abridged version actually is helpful too because it gives you the wisdoms of the hadith and the basic explanation of it. You will not find this in the raw text of the hadith of Riyad al-Salihin. And some of these words need explanation. It's good to have a basic, brief commentary. That's what you'll find in the English. So this is where we're at. And he titles it in the English translation, On the Virtue of Sincerity and Prohibition of Riya' Ostentation. Now, one of the things that Imam al-Nawawi does in all of these sections in Riyad al-Salihin is he starts off with the Qur'an, and then he mentions the hadiths. And that is because you will find that the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ in general could be traced back to a principle or a verse that's mentioned in the Book of Allah originally. And most of the teachings, the vast majority of the teachings that are in the Sunnah are found in the Qur'an. Because the Sunnah is bayan lil Qur'an. The Sunnah is an explanation of the Qur'an. So you'll find that Sunnah fassarat ma ajmalahu al-Qur'an. It explained what the Qur'an left general, right? Now, and the other reason why he starts, so that's one reason why he starts off with the ayat. He wants you to draw this link between the Qur'an and the Sunnah, right? There's verses, and then there's their explanation. Verses, and then there's their explanation. The other reason is, of course, because the primary source of tashri'ah is the Qur'an. So to give it priority, he mentions it first. What are the verses he mentions? He mentions a verse from the last juz', Surah Al-Bayyinah. He says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاءَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. He says, they were commanded only to worship Allah. This is what ikhlas is all about. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا. This is uslub hasr. This is basically reducing the scope, making the entirety of deen established on ikhlas. And that's why, if there is no ikhlas, there is no life for iman. Ikhlas and sincerity is the life force for iman. That's why, ash-shirkul asghar, what is it? What is the minor shirk? If someone does this minor shirk, they're a Muslim, but their deeds will be invalidated by their association with Allah. Shirk al-asghar is riya'. That's ostentation, right? So it's close to the major shirk, which is to actually make a partner with Allah. The only difference is you're still Muslim, but it will invalidate the deeds. So deen is centered on ikhlas. That's why the first section in this whole book is about ikhlas. If my actions, my salah, my words, my good deeds, if they're going to be accepted, then I need to have ikhlas. If you were with us in Salat al-Maghrib, I recited verses from the Qur'an, Surat al-Zumar. Surat al-Zumar is Surat al-Ikhlas number 2, right? Surat al-Ikhlas number 2. The central theme of Surat al-Zumar is all about ikhlas, is all about sincerity. And so Surat al-Ikhlas tells us about the basis of Tawheed. Surah Az-Zumar gives us a lot of principles that are essential in the subject of sincerity. What does Allah say in Surah Az-Zumar? He says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. So we know that associating with Allah leads to invalidation of the deeds. It has been revealed to you and to those before you. If you associate with Allah, your deeds will become invalid. Okay, what's the second verse that he mentions? وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. Now he, in the abridgment that you have in front of you, he only mentions one verse, this first verse. In the original text, he says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يناله التقوى منكم. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't need its meat, doesn't need its blood. He's talking about the adahi, the udhiyya, the sacrifice. Allah doesn't need it. ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. Allah is looking for you to have taqwa in your heart. So this is showing us that the outward is based on the inward. Actions are judged by ikhlas, right? What's the third verse he mentions? قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. This is another principle about relating to the, and the hadith are going to explain. قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا. If you were to conceal what's in your chests or expose it, Allah knows it. And one of the greatest ways to achieve ikhlas is for me to realize that I'm never truly alone. One way I achieve ikhlas is by realizing I'm never truly alone. Always Allah is watching over me. So this verse, so there's a reason, there's many verses about ikhlas in the Quran. There's a reason why he chose these. The first verse, again, tells us that sincerity is the basis of religion. The whole religion is established on sincere worship to Allah. The second verse he shares with us shows us that the inward and the outward strongly correlate with each other. They strongly correlate with each other, right? Allah's not looking for the meat or the blood. He's looking for taqwa in the hearts, right? Just lowered that a little bit. Seems a little loud to me. And then the third verse that he shares is, know that you're never alone. And the more I realize this, the more I will be mindful of Allah because I know He is always watching me. So now, what are the hadith that he mentions? The first hadith he mentions is what we're going to refer to as Ummul Bab. You know, Ummul Bab is the primary reference in this whole section. The most critical hadith out of all 12 that he mentions in this section is Hadith al-Niyyah. That's the name of it. The Hadith of Intentions. When someone tells you, what is the Hadith of Intentions? What should immediately come to your mind? The Hadith of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The Hadith of Umar, indeed actions are by their intentions. So this is a critical hadith that I need to understand. Let's read the hadith from the book. Again, page 37. It is narrated from the leader of the believers, Amir al-Mu'mineen. By the way, Amir al-Mu'mineen, where's this coming from, Amir al-Mu'mineen? The first one ever named Amir al-Mu'mineen was who? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is a title. It was a title, right? For the Khalifa. Who was this name first used for? Sayyidina Umar. After him, all of the Khulafa were given this title, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, right? So he's the first one to have this title, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardah. His other name, title, besides Amir al-Mu'mineen was what? Al-Faruq, Faruq Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Umar, his Islam was a great turning point in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the seerah. He became Muslim in the sixth year after revelation. He's also referred to as Abu Hafs, right? Because he had a daughter named what? Hafsa. And who was she? She was the wife of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hafs refers to lion, right? So he was referred to as Abu Hafs. He wasn't Abu Hafsa. He was Abu Hafs, father of the lion, right? And subhanAllah, he was indeed more than a lion, Sayyidina Umar. But anyway, Abu Hafs, Hafs's lion, he became Muslim, and this he became Muslim by the blessings of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahabbi hadaini aw bi ahabb al-umaraini ilayk. Oh Allah, give victory to Islam by the most beloved of the two Umars to you. The two Umars, who is this referring to? Actually, one of them was named Umar and the other one was named Amr. Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham, who was Abu Jahl. And the one who Allah blessed with becoming Muslim was Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Anyway, what did he narrate? He narrated, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Actions are only by intentions, and every person receives that which he intends. So whoever emigrates for Allah and His Messenger, his emigration is for Allah and His Messenger. And whoever emigrates seeking some worldly gain or to marry a woman, his emigration is for that which he emigrated for." This hadith is explaining to us what we just read in the verses of the Quran. The relationship between the inward and the outward. You're doing actions. What's the root of the intentions behind these actions? That will tell us the life of this action. How valuable is it? How precious is it? The stronger the intention, the stronger the level of sincerity, the stronger the punch. That's basically what it is. That's what it is. That's how actions are assessed. Two actions may be exactly the same, but the discrepancy between them is sirrul ikhlasi fiha. The difference is the secret of ikhlas that's behind one of these actions, right? So that's why the concept of ikhlas and sincerity is a very, very, very celebrated concept in our deen. That's why they say that niyatul mu'min, this is one of the statements that the scholars, they say, niyatul mu'min ablaghu min amalih. The believer is a person who has a lot of goodwill in his heart, right? Niyatul mu'min, the intention of the believer has a further reach than his own actions. Why? Because what I could possibly do is limited. But what I could have a beautiful intention for is endless, right? Because of the goodwill that the believer has, hey, I want to be part of every good thing. I wish I could do that. I wish I could go here. I wish I could help people like that. I wish I could give that much. I wish I could do this. There are so many wishes the believer has. Niyatul mu'min ablaghu min amalih. Whereas the munafiq, the opposite reality is, right? The munafiq, his intention is weaker than his amal. His intention is weaker than his amal, right? So this is something to take away from hadith and niyyah. That's the rest of the hadith. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at the commentary that he shares about the wisdoms of this hadith. He says, the scholars are in agreement that intention is essential in order to gain the reward for an action. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says it like that. There's no redundancy in the words of the Prophet. Actions are only by intentions. Yes, we judge actions according to the intentions. That's one. And two, the person will only get the reward for what he intends, right? So they're two separate things, your reward and your intent. Your intent, your action, your intent defines the value of your actions. Your reward is according to the beauty of your intentions. So you came to Maghrib today. Why'd you come to the masjid today? You could have had one intention, I want to pray, or I want to learn. Or you could have had 10 intentions, right? What intentions could you have had? I have the intention to go to a majlis ilm. I had an intention to go listen to the Quran. I had a lesson intention to go meet my brothers and sisters in Islam. I had an intention to be around good people to see if there's any way I can advise or assist so that I could be a good mirror for my brothers. I had an intention to remember Allah Azza wa Jal with every step I take to the masjid, because as the Prophet ﷺ says, that when you go to the masjid, every step you take towards the masjid is a step higher and a rank higher by Allah. And you could have added, and I have the intention to give a charity. I had an intention to this and that and that. You could have had several intentions as you were coming to the masjid today. Or you could have been mindless of the subject of intention, like we usually are. May Allah forgive us. And I could have missed out on a lot of chances for reward. When I have a lot of goodwill in my heart, guess what? It's going to materialize into a lot more good actions, right? I'm just going to be on it, right? If I had it in my mind, all right, I'm going to the masjid because if there's an opportunity to clean the masjid, I want to get the reward of being someone who cleans the masjid, right? So immediately when I see something, oh yeah, I reminded myself, I'm going to go clean the masjid, right? And so on and so forth. Right, so this is one thing. He goes on to say, however, their opinions differ on whether it is regarded as a condition for the validity of an action. Now he mentions something that is fiqhi to us. He mentions something that is fiqhi. Now, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are according to their intentions. This is this إِنَّمَا صِحَّةُ الْأَعْمَالِ or إِنَّمَا كَمَالُ الْأَعْمَالِ. What is the Prophet ﷺ telling us? Is it a condition for the action to be accepted, for there to be an intention? Or is this from the kamal, and meaning from the perfection of an action for there to be an intention? Meaning, if I mindlessly did something that was good, will I get rewarded for it? Or is it a condition that I have the intention? Like, for example, wudu. And we always teach in the books of fiqh that in the beginning of your wudu, your intention is required, right? In order for it to be accepted. This is according to the Shafi'i school. That's what he says here. Shafi'i school, if you don't have intention, like say you took a shower, you washed your whole body, could that count for your wudu? According to the Shafi'i school, no. Why? Because of this hadith. They say, you needed to have your intention before when you were washing your body parts. You didn't have the intention, and wudu is an act of worship. So, you will not get the reward of wudu. You didn't have the intention. How are you going to get the reward of wudu? So then the Hanafi school comes along and says, إِنَّمَا كَمَالُ الْأَعْمَالِ بِالنِّيَاتِ. No. If you took a shower and washed your whole body, it'll count for your wudu, but you just won't get rewards for it. Meaning, if you want the reward, you have to have the intention. But if you do the act, it will count for you, just without reward. That's what the Hanafi school says. So if you take a full shower, can you go ahead and pray? According to the Hanafi school, yes, but you missed out on the reward of wudu, right? So this is how this hadith affects something in fiqh. So that's one fiqhi thing that he mentions. And then he goes on to mention to us, where is the intention? The abode of the intention is the heart. Thus, it is not a prerequisite that the intention be pronounced aloud. Do I need to say the intention with my tongue? No, my intention is right here, right? So before I start salah, do I have to announce my intention with my tongue? Answer, no, I don't. However, if I wanted to, because it helps me focus a little bit, is there anything haram about that? No, as long as you know that it's not a sunnah and it's not a particular recommendation, it just helps you focus, there's no problem if you're going to say it just to help you focus, but realize the intention is in the heart, right? However, sincerity towards Allah Most High is one of the conditions for an action to be accepted. Now, and this is where the next hadith he shares comes into play. What's the next hadith he shares? He says, and عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا ينظر إلى أجسامكم ولا إلى صوركم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Right? So he says here, this hadith, critical hadith, he says, Allah doesn't observe your bodies, right? He doesn't observe your appearances. Rather, He observes your hearts. Period? No. No. If it was just period right there, we'd have a problem, right? Then we would have the person who uses this type of language as an excuse sometimes would have a reason to justify, oh, I have a clean heart. Yeah, I do every major sin in the book, but I have a clean heart. You know, you can't do that. No, no, no. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah observes your intentions and your actions. Both of them need to be on point. It's not about your appearances. It's not that you look the part, right? I have an appearance that looks like I'm someone who's very religious. That's not what it... Well, does that mean that looking like that is completely irrelevant? No. No, don't understand things in binaries and extremes. No, looking how the Prophet ﷺ looked has its own merit, his own virtue, especially if it's something he encouraged us to do, like for the guy having a beard, or following some other of khisalul fitra. However, that's something that's assessed separately. If I was to look the part, but my heart's disgusting, guess what? Guess what? Useless. Useless. If I was to look the part, like if I were, you know, for example, if a sister, sometimes because this creates misconceptions in people's minds.
For example, if a sister wears hijab or wears niqab, but then she gossips and lies, some people say, oh, well, see, hijab is useless because she gossips and lies. That's straw man. That's from Talbis Iblis. That's not how you assess things. However, if I look the part and my heart is ugly, guess what? Useless, right? But does it mean looking the part is useless? No, that's separate. Same thing. I have a beard. I look like a religious person. I go to the masjid, but then I go outside and I'm a bad business partner and I cheat and I'm awful with those closest to me. Is that going to help me on the Day of Judgment? No, those are all red flags. Something wrong with the sincerity. Ya Allah, forgive us our many shortcomings. Ya Allah. So you see, this hadith, the second hadith that he shares with us here, shows us that both the inward and outward are critical, but the inward is even more critical. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ. The inward is even more critical, even though the outward is important. The inward is even more critical, even though the outward's important. That's why the scholars, you know what they say about the first hadith we went over, the hadith of intentions? They say, this is Imam Abu Dawood, he says this, إِنَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ نِصْفُ الْإِسْلَامِ لِأَنَّ الدِّينَ إِمَّا ظَاهِرٌ وَهُوَ الْعَمَلُ وَإِمَّا بَاطِنٌ وَهُوَ النِّيَّةِ. This hadith, he tells us that the hadith of intentions is half of Islam. Why? Because anything relating to Islam is either inward or outward. Inward or outward. And if it's outward, we're talking about actions, and those are important. If it's inward, we're talking about intentions, right? So it's half of Islam. And the Imam Shafi'i goes on to say, he says, يَدْخُلُ حَدِيثُ النِّيَّةِ فِي ثُلُثِ الْعِلْمِ. The hadith of intentions relates to a third of the subjects in all of knowledge altogether. You could trace them back. Intentions plays a role in many different doors, many different sections in fiqh, like tahara, salah, zakah, hajj, siyam, and also in other sections like in business transactions and marriage and divorce and kada. All intention plays a role in all of these different subjects. So that's why he says it's a third. It relates to a third of knowledge altogether. Why is intention such a critical subject? Why? Why is the subject of niyyah so important? Because it houses your motive. What is my motive? What is the dafi'? What is the dafi' and the driver behind me doing my action? That's in my heart. If I don't focus on the heart, then guess what? Guess what? My actions altogether will be corrupted. Now, going further, he goes on to say this. He mentions another verse. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. He says, there's evidence from the book how the intentions is critical, more critical than the body. The action and the intentions are both more critical than the outward appearance. He says this verse, and it is not your wealth nor your children that bring you nearer to us, but only he who believes and does righteous deeds, right? So intention and amal. Reward for actions is according to the sincerity and true intention, which come together within the heart. It is therefore essential to attend to the state of one's heart, correcting its intentions and purifying it from every reprehensible attribute. That's what he goes on to say there. So there's critical questions that we've answered. Why is the intention so critical? We answered that. Is it good enough to have good intentions? Is it good enough? The answer? No. What's the evidence? Hadith number two. Hadith number two is the evidence as to why it's not good enough to have good intentions, right? So does having a good intention remove blame? The answer? Well, if you realize that actions are important too, having a good intention is not enough. What? You have to have the sincerity plus صحه العمل. Sincerity plus the correctness of the deed need to be coupled together in order for this deed to be meaningful. All right. Now, the next hadith, hadith 3, that or hadith, he numbers it as number 5 here, and it is actually number, it is the, okay, I see what he's doing here. So you see the numbering, he's numbering a number 5 because he had a section before. He had two hadiths in that section. I got him. So the third hadith that he mentions in the abridged text is إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ ثُمَّ بَيِّنَ ذَلِكَ فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ 10 حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَى 700 ضِعْفٍ إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرَةٍ وإن هم بسيئة فلم يعملها كتبها الله تعالى عنده حسنة كاملة وإن هم بها فعملها كتبها الله سيئة واحدة. All right. This hadith tells us about the levels of intent. You see the word hamma, which means to consider, used more than once. What does this mean? The summary of this hadith, as he says here, is if you were to consider doing a good deed and you did it, Allah will write it as 10 good deeds up to 700 folds. If you consider doing it and don't do it, then Allah Azza wa Jal will write it as one good deed. And if you consider doing a bad deed and you don't do it, Allah will consider it as one good deed. And if you consider it and did it, Allah will consider it as one bad deed. Sayyi'ah, right? So if you consider doing a bad deed and you don't do it, you get rewarded. If you consider doing a bad deed and you do it, you will only get one sin. That's why they say, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ غَلَبَتْ أَحَادُهُ عَشَرَاتِهِ. Woe to one who his single-digit deeds will outdo his multiplied deeds. Your single digit deeds are what? Your sins, right? If sins are not multiplied and you still end up going to hellfire, that shows that there was a big problem. That shows that there's a great level of negligence. Anyone, as another hadith mentions, وَلَا يَهْلَكْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا هَالِكَ. The only one who will be ruined before Allah is someone who truly deserves ruin. وَلَا يَهْلَكْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا هَالِكَ. نَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ السَّلَامَةَ. What are the different levels of intent? So what does hamma actually mean? There are 5 levels of intent. 5 levels of intent. Again, the more you write things and you take notes, the more that this stuff will stick with you. So what are the levels of intent? The highest level of intent is azm. And azm is when you set your heart to something. That is exactly what we define as niyyah. Al-azm al-muqtarin bil-amal. Azm is khalas. So niyyah is something that actually is at the beginning of doing the act. Azm is I've set my heart to doing it. I have no doubt. I'm going to do this. That's it. Right? I might not end up doing it, or I might do it. And I might be talking about a good deed or a bad deed. Azm, you with me? Levels of intent. The highest level we call azm. That's when you set your heart to something. If you set your heart to doing a good deed, you'll be rewarded. And if you actually do it, you'll be rewarded more. If you set your heart to doing a bad deed, you will get sin. Pay attention, you will get sin. Whether you actually do it or not, if you do it, then you'll get another sin. That's azm. That's not hem. Hem is less. You all following along with me? Azm, I'll give you an example, right? Someone wants to engage in an illicit activity, in a haram relationship. And they prepare themselves. That's it. I got the number. I got the location. I got in my car. I'm going to go do this. And they actually try every effort to get to that place, but something happens and they're not able to get there for some reason. And they get frustrated about not being able to achieve what they wanted to do. This person will get a sin. Why? They set their heart to it. This is not hem, this is azm. Hem is something less. Hem is, I'm considering doing a wrongful deed. It's on my mind, right? I'm leaning towards it. I want this. But I don't set my heart to it yet. You know, I'm inclined towards it, but then I say, no, astaghfirullah, how can I do that? I don't want that, right? Then, in that case, I will get a good deed for not following through on considering that sin. So it's more than mustawi al-tarafain. It's more than having a 50-50 attitude. I'm inclined to it, right? What is hadith al-nafs? That's when I'm considering it, and I'm 50-50, I don't know. I am considering to go to Hajj, but I am overwhelmed by different circumstances. So I really don't know. I want to, but I can't, or I'm worried. Hadith nafs, you don't get good deeds, you don't get sins for that. At this level, that there's no, it's because now it's just like it's just a thought. It's not a consideration, right? So highest level, set your heart to it. That's azm. Second level is hem, and that's consideration. Third level is hadith and nafs, and that is thought, and that's giving thought to it, pondering it. And I'm not inclined either way. And then we have khatir. What is a khatir? That is just a very basic level of thought. I'm not seriously considering it yet. I'm just thinking about it. خطر ببالي كذا وكذا. Right? Then I have hajis. And that's something that just enters my mind, but it's fleeting. It doesn't even stick. I don't even consider it. Right? It's a bad thought that just came to mind. أعوذ بالله. How can I think like that? Right? I saw someone who gave me a frown, and immediately the shaitan put in my heart that feeling that that person's mutakabbir. But I don't think about it. It just like exits my mind. It's not a serious consideration whatsoever. Right? These are the five levels of intent. Right? So that's what this hadith gives us an eye into. Do you get reward for a good intention? What about a bad one? Well, if it's hem, which is level what? Of the five levels. What is hem? Two. You'll get rewards for good deeds. You will not get sins for bad considerations. Only if you act upon them. You get the summary of this next hadith that he shares with us? You get the summary of that? You get it? Everyone following along? Good? All right. What does an intention do? What does an intention do? This is the next question I want to answer. The next question, what does an intention do? تميز العبادة عن العادة. It distinguishes between an act of worship from a mundane act. وتميز رتب العبادات بعضها عن بعض. Right? So it distinguishes between a mundane act versus an act of worship. What is mundane? يعني routine. Right? I'm taking a shower just to be clean because I'm used to that. Versus I'm taking a shower for the purpose of غسل يوم الجمعة. One is a sunnah, the other one is a routine act. If I have the intention of doing a sunnah, I'm going to get rewarded for it. If I'm just doing it out of habit, then I'm not going to get rewarded for that. Or the levels of acts of worship, right? I'm praying two rak'ahs. Is it a fard salah or is it a sunnah salah? That's the question. So those are the two things that intentions do. Separates between routine and act of worship and levels of act of worship. That's the next thing intentions do. Now, the next thing that we go over here, if you move forward, he goes, when he explains this hadith that's shared here, the third hadith in this section, he says, this is a sacred hadith. It's a hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَسَيِّئَاتِ Why? Why is it a hadith Qudsi? Does anyone know? Why? It's when the Prophet ﷺ is quoting Allah, it's a hadith Qudsi. All right? This hadith قدسي is in Bukhari and Muslim, so we know for certain it is authentic. That's for certain. Can hadith قدسي be weak? What do you guys think? What do you guys think? No? Yes or no? What do you think, Ahmed? So a hadith qudsi is just telling you the point of authority. Who told me that Allah said this? Who told me that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said this? Well, there's a chain here. I need to assess them. Hadith qudsi could be weak. It depends on who's telling you. Like if someone comes and tells you, hey, by the way, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you attend a class in the masjid, it's like worshipping Allah for 100 years, right? Someone comes and tells you like that. And you like, this guy is a sketchy guy. He doesn't have knowledge. Who the heck is this guy? If you attend a class in the masjid, it's like worshipping Allah for 100 years. I'm not going to just take that. But he said the Prophet said it. Well, does that mean it's automatically authentic? He said it. I need to see who this guy is. He's telling me the Prophet said. Where did he hear it from? Right? Same thing with Hadith Qudsi. Yeah, we know that the Prophet ﷺ is referencing Allah, but who's telling us that Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said this to begin with? So Hadith Qudsi could be weak. This one's authentic though. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. So we know that for certain. All right. The meaning of the word kataba, right? In Allah kataba al-hasanati wa-sayyat. Allah wrote good deeds. What does that mean? Allah ordered the guardians of the angel, of the angels, the hafadha, to write down good deeds and bad deeds, right? That means kiraman katibin. Kiraman katibin. You have these scrupulous scribes who write down everything that we do, right? The hadith informs us that whoever intends a good deed, it is written for him regardless of whether he actually performs it. This is because the intention to do a good deed is the cause of doing it. And the cause of good is also good, right? Al-wasila ila al-amal salih. عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ, right? So that which leads to a good deed is also in itself a good deed, right? لِلْوَسَائِلْ حُكْمُ الْمَقَاصِدِ, as the scholars, they teach us. And then he goes on to mention the very end of this hadith, why is a bad deed not written in accordance with his intention? The answer is, the intention to refrain from the bad deed follows the initial intention to commit the bad deed, and therefore it abrogates it, right? So you see, you wanted to do something bad, you were considering it, but then you didn't do it. What happens? In order for you not to do it, that there had to have been a thought in your mind, astaghfirullah, a'udhu billah. So now that you thought in this way, Allah will not only not write it as a bad deed, He'll give you a good deed. وَهَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And it shows us how intentions actually multiply your amal, make it more valuable, make it more powerful, as we said earlier. He shares with us other hadiths now. Now there are some hadiths he doesn't share, and I want to share them. What doesn't he share? That's in the original text. The hadith that he shares next says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and if you have the original Riyad al-Salihin with you, you could see this. And if you want to have it with you, I told you guys last time, you guys could go to sunnah.com. And you could open it on your phone. You could have the original text of the hadith as we're reading along with our book, right? So the second hadith in Riyad al-Salihin says, يَغْزُو جَيْشٌ الْكَعْبَةِ فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْدَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidah Aisha. She says, there will be an army that makes its way targeting the Kaaba. To target the Kaaba in the end of times. The hadith is referring about the end of times. فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْدَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. When they're in an open space, barren space from the land, this entire army will be obliterated. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us something that will happen before the end of times. So Sayyidah Aisha said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ وَفِيهِمْ أَسْوَاقُهُمْ وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. Right? How can they all be punished when there may be some innocent people among them? People who are there just to buy and sell. It's people who are just passing by. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَّاتِهِمْ. Prophet ﷺ said they will all experience this disaster, this natural disaster, and they will then be resurrected according to their intentions. According to their intentions. Now, that's why it's very scary. You cannot say, even if you see a natural disaster happening, and natural disasters are a warning from Allah for us, you know, you can never say that this natural disaster, without revelation, is a punishment from Allah for these people. No, they will be resurrected according to their intentions. You could say it's a reminder from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, it's a reminder. But is it a punishment? Well, I would need to know an element from ilm al-ghayb, from the knowledge of the unseen, that would mean that these people deserve to be punished. And how am I going to know that? The Prophet ﷺ even said, refrain judgment. In this, Sayyidah Aisha had the mind to think, well, some people might be caught up in that natural disaster and they're innocent, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said, made it very clear, people in the Day of Judgment will be resurrected according to their intentions. That's why, who's someone who dies a certain way and will be resurrected continuing the act that they died upon? There's a hadith that mentions it. Anyone know the answer to this? Someone who dies a very righteous death in doing a certain act of worship, and on the Day of Judgment, the Sunnah teaches us this person will be resurrected doing that same act of worship. Ah. What is the act of worship that he'll be doing? Huh? He'll be doing jihad on the Day of Judgment. No. He'll be continuing the act when he wakes up on the Day of Judgment. Someone said Hajj. That's the correct answer, right? The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that the Hajj should be buried in his garments. For on the Day of Judgment, فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا. On the Day of Judgment, he will wake up, Allahu alam, how many thousands of years later, and he'll be doing talbiyah. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ. Just as he died doing Hajj, he'll wake up, and that shows you what? يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَاتِهِمْ. Ya Allah. They'll be resurrected. So if someone died a beautiful death, then this death will give, or this beautiful intention that they died upon, Husnul Khatima, will give birth to the reality on the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah. There's another hadith that tells us bad intentions, on the other hand, lead to the opposite result. Ya Allah. This hadith is a scary hadith, wallahi. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us in the hadith, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. One of you does the actions of the people of Jannah until he's only an arm's length away, as it appears to people. فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ, as one of the variations of the hadith says. Only an arm's length away from Jannah. And then he does from the actions of the people of hellfire and he enters it. And then one of you does from the actions of the people of hellfire until he is only an arm's length away from it, as it appears to people. And then he does from the actions of the people of Jannah and he enters it. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Where is a good intention going to help me most? Answer that question. Where is a good intention going to help me most? Answer, at the moment of death. Right? At the moment of death, that's when the good intention helps me most. Why? Because that's what's going to enable me to say La ilaha illallah when I die. If I was not min ahl al-niyya al-saliha al-khalisa, lan uwaffaq li husn al-khatima. That's a scary thing. You know, if I'm not a person of good intentions, I will not be blessed to have a beautiful end to my life. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He shows through the khawatim how the person lived throughout their life. Right? So this hadith tells us that. That's one hadith he didn't mention. Now, another hadith. Look, this other hadith, he doesn't mention this hadith either. This hadith is the fourth hadith in Riyad al-Salihin in this section. It says, كُنَّا مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي غَزَاتٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ بِالْمَدِينَةِ لَرِجَالًا مَا سِرْتُمْ مَسِيرًا وَلَا قَطَعْتُمْ وَادِيًا إِلَّا كَانُوا مَعَكُمْ حَبَسَهُمُ الْمَرَضُ. Right? The Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith, and he says, there are, when they were out with the Prophet in a battle, The Prophet turned to the companions with him and he said, there are those in Medina, you have not walked down any direction or even crossed any valley. وَلَا قَطَعْتُمْ وَادِيًا إِلَّا كَانُوا مَعَكُمْ. They're with you. Another variation says, إِلَّا شَرَكُوكُمْ فِي الْأَجْرِ. Another variation says, they are your partners in reward even though they're in Medina. Why? Because they were held back due to certain excuses. And that's why there's a verse in Surah Az-Zumar which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ ذَلِكَ لِيُكَفِّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Ya Allah. Look at this beautiful hadith that tells us how powerful intention is. So that Allah, because of the beauty of intention, Allah will erase the worst of their deeds and reward them according to the best of what they used to do. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he says in another hadith, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مَا كَانَ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا. When the individual travels or is sick, Allah will write for him the reward according to the best of what he used to do when he was healthy and when he was a resident, when he wasn't traveling. Because maybe when he's traveling, he's not able to do as much as he used to do. So look at this. Look how powerful that is. You see that? So this is a good thing for someone who is experiencing severe illness. People in old age, for example, when they were younger. Oh, I was able to pray like this and fast like that. Some people, when they reach old age and they can't fast anymore, it breaks their heart that they cannot fast. One of the biggest things that affects, I've heard many stories like this, you know, it's so overwhelmingly emotional when someone who reaches their 80s, for example, and the doctor tells them you can't fast anymore, how they could go Ramadan without fasting. I've seen older people cry because they can't fast anymore because of their health. Is this person going to miss out on ajr? La, kalla. Allah Azza wa Jal will give him the reward like he was when he was healthy and fasting. And the same thing with everything else. This is min fadlillahi Azza wa Jal, and by the blessings of intention. Intentions help us in so many ways, Ya Allah. There's another one here that transitions the subject to something else. Right? Look at this. This is in our book. This is the other side of intentions. Riya. من سمى عن جندب ابن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سمع سمع الله به ومن يرائي يرائي الله به. This hadith says, whoever seeks to be known, Allah will make him known. Look at this. This is sum'a, referring to seeking repute. Whoever seeks to be known, Allah will make him known. Ya Allah. What does that mean? Right? This, I know myself, I do all kinds of wrong things. I'm trying to boast about who I am. If you're following along, by the way, I'm on the bottom of page 39. The bottom of page 39, right? I'm trying to boast about who I am and I'm presenting myself as I'm this great person. Allah will make it clear. You want to boast? Wait till the Day of Judgment. Allah will show people who you really are. May Allah protect us from that. وَمَنْ يُرَائِي يُرَائِي اللَّهُ بِهِ. You want to show off? Wait till the Day of Judgment. This hadith tells us what? The words seek to be known refer to people who boast. Allah will expose such people in their true condition on the Day of Resurrection. The word to be seen, رَاءَ, refers to people who behave ostentatiously, seeking the high regard of others. These, Allah will reveal the secrets of their hearts to all of the creation. This hadith is a warning against all forms of riya and boasting. And that whoever adopts this course, Allah will expose and disgrace them. Right? So this is one of the hadiths about having a corrupt intention. Having a corrupt intention is the source of all ruin. Al-Thabat, they say, لَا يَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا مُخْلِصٍ. The only one who could remain steadfast is someone who is very sincere. Where do we learn this from in the Quran? If you look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ what? وهم بها لولا أن رأى برهان ربه كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. And there's another قراءة, إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. Right, there's two authentic recitations here. Right, he would have considered her had he not seen the clear signs from Allah. That's what they do tafsir of it as. And he says, كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء. As such, we turn away from Yusuf all of the harm and all of the obscenity and wrongfulness. Why? In why? ببركه الاخلاص. انه من عبادنا المخلصين. فالاخلاص يفتح ابواب ويغلق عنا ابواب. Right? So, ikhlas, sincerity, opens for us doors and seals shut other doors. Right? Other doors that lead to ruin and halak and disgrace and fadiha. Right? يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت. Why? ببركة الإخلاص. كلمة الإخلاص. The verse says, Allah will make the believers steadfast. بالقول الثابت. What is this كلمة that Allah mentions in Surah Ibrahim that causes steadfastness? كلمة الإخلاص. لا إله إلا الله. The essence of it, that leads to ثبات. Right? So, ثبات is one of the gifts of إخلاص. رياء, on the other hand, is one of the greatest causes of ruin. Well, how can I know if I have riya in my heart or not? One of the ways to know this is by seeing how I act in private. How I act in private. Our private actions are a litmus test for how we are before Allah Azza wa Jalla. When I don't have anyone to praise me, when I don't have anyone to criticize me. Because then again, what are the three motives behind riya? What are the three motives behind riya? Right? I have طلب المدح, خوف المذمة. I'm seeking praise, I'm fearing criticism. Or طلب المنزلة في قلوب الخلق. Or I'm seeking status. I want a certain status. These are the three main motives for riya. How can I know if my heart's clean from riya or full of riya? I need to look at my private actions. That's why there's another hadith about ikhlas that's very, very scary. The Prophet ﷺ, he says in the hadith that there will be those on the Day of Judgment who will come with the mount good deeds the sizes of the mountains of Tihama. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will make it like dispersed dust. So they said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, sifhum lana. Describe who are these people that their actions will become weightless on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then says, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ إِخْوَانُكُمْ وَمِنْ جِلْدَتِكُمْ وَيَأْخُذُونَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا تَأْخُذُونَ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ انْتَهَكُوهَا. Prophet ﷺ said, they're your brothers. They pray from the night like you pray. But there are people, when they're alone with the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they breach those boundaries. So how do I know if there's ikhlas here or not? How do I act when there's no one else around? You want to know how devastating lack of sincerity could be? Besides making deeds invalid, the next hadith shows us this. Again, we're on the bottom of page 40 now. Bottom of page 40. This hadith is a scary hadith. Look. It says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أول الناس يقضى يوم القيامة عليه رجل استشهد فأتي به فعرفه نعمته فعرفها فقال فما عملت فيها فقال قاتلت فيك حتى استشهدت قال كذبت ولكنك قاتلت لأن يقال جريء فقد قيل ثم أمر به فسحب على وجهه حتى ألقي في النار. Right. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us about three individuals who will be the first cast into hellfire. Wow. Ya Allah. Intentions are that deep in terms of their impact that the ones who will first enter hellfire are the ones with corrupt intentions. Not just any people with corrupt intentions, the best people with corrupt intentions. Like someone who's been martyred. This hadith tells us that the first person of these individuals is a man who died as a martyr. He'll be brought and will be informed of the blessings he had, and he'll acknowledge them. And Allah will ask him, what did you do with them? He said, I fought for you until I was martyred. He said, no, you lie. You fought until it was said, so-and-so is brave. And it was said. Then the command will be given, and he'll be dragged on his face until he's thrown into the fire. Right? Then he mentions the alim, the one who learned knowledge. He'll be asked the same question. What did you do with this blessing I gave you? He said, I taught people, and I acted upon the Qur'an. I recited it in the day and in the night. What did you do with them? He said, I learned and I taught sacred knowledge, and I recited the Qur'an for you. He said, you lie. Rather, you learned so that it could be said a scholar, and you recited so that it could be said a reciter. And it was said. And the command will be given, and he'll be dragged on his face until he's thrown into the fire. Ya Allah. The third one is someone who gave a lot of money. Imagine that, going through all this sacrifice, a lifetime, you know, people donating, people sacrificing their life, their well-being, people sacrificing their time to learn, and all of this comes crashing down because of the effects of bad intentions. May Allah Azza wa Jal not make us of those who are disgraced like this. You know, this is why the worst type of khasara and loss is the loss of the hereafter. You lose 10,000, someone takes it from you. You lose a new car or a new house. All the stuff, it's replaceable. All of the stuff comes and goes. It doesn't last forever, aslan, right? But you lose yourself on the Day of Judgment, there's no greater loss than this. And the source of this loss is what? Adamul ikhlas. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Again, which surah is it? Surah Az-Zumar. You want to know which surah is called Surah Al-Ikhlas number 2? We'll go over this in the Sunday course, right? Surah Al-Ikhlas number 2. This is how I'm naming it. Because it's truly about ikhlas. Principles of sincerity in the Qur'an, Surah Az-Zumar. Principles of sincerity in the Qur'an, Surah Az-Zumar. The verse says, indeed, the true losers are the ones who lost themselves and their families on the Day of Judgment. Indeed, that's the biggest, most evident loss that you could possibly have, right? So, anyone who's lost something that's really precious to them, you've lost something that's really... I know it's hard to think like this, but something that you felt like you had, and you felt like you were really winning because you had this, and you were just so attached to it, and then you lose it, remind yourself of this. There's no greater loss than the loss of the Day of Judgment. If I set my heart on the right path, and I'm sincere and genuine with Allah Azza wa Jal, there's no loss that is worthwhile for me to fall into despair. Why? The biggest loss is the loss of the Akhirah. As long as I protect myself from that, I'm good. I'm profitable, right? If I lose everything in my dunya, and I profit on the Day of Judgment, khalas, I won, right? Those people in Gaza now, who are seeing their entire life savings, their homes, their businesses, their families, everything obliterated and demolished by the war machines of Israel. May Allah Azza wa Jal punish them in their dunya before their akhirah. Those people who see this, did they lose? Are they in loss? La, 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 la. Right? They didn't lose. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. As soon as they leave this dunya and they leave all of this carnage behind them, Allah is giving them rizq. And guess what? عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. If Allah is giving you rizq, you think it's going to compare to corporation X, Y, or Z that you work for is giving you rizq? Which rizq is better? Allah's rizq or their rizq? Allah's rizq is way better, right? So anyway, this is the next hadith. You know this hadith that's narrated by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah? This hadith terrified him so much that they say that when he narrated this hadith, he fainted. He got so scared from this hadith. That's Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet. May Allah's pleasure be upon him. But imagine, like, this is how scared he was from this hadith. Look, this hadith, I'm on the bottom of 41 right now. This hadith warns against ostentation. The first matter to be judged on the Day of Judgment will be the acts of riyah. These will be revealed in their true light. And those who committed them will be censored and disgraced, right? In fact, there's another hadith, you know what it says? That those who associated, there's a hadith says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ, right? Allah Azza wa Jal is not in need of association. Anyone who associated his actions with his actions for Allah with someone else, Allah Azza wa Jal will abandon him. Go ahead, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say, where are those who sought their rewards from others? Let them go get their rewards from them now. Go ahead, go get your reward. Right? It'll be useless. So anyway, outward acts are not sufficient for salvation in the Akhirah. Rather, what is required is ikhlas and genuinely seeking wajhullah, the countenance of Allah Azza wa Jal. The last hadith he mentions in this section, he says, that Abu Dharr asked the Prophet, narrates that قِيلَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَرَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ الَّذِي يَعْمَلُ الْعَمَلَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَيَحْمَدُهُ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ. This is a nice, important hadith. It's an authentic hadith. It's in Sahih Muslim. It says, this is a smart question. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, tell us about a person who does some good deeds and people praise him for it. All right, he did a good deed, and people praised him, and it made him feel good. It made him feel good. He got happy when he heard people praise him. Does that mean he has a bad intention? Prophet ﷺ said, لا. تلك عاجل بشرى المؤمن. تلك عاجل بشرى المؤمن. This is the good news which a believer receives immediately in this life. What does that mean? All right, أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. You, O human beings, you are Allah's witnesses in this earth. So when you find people praising a person, this is a good sign, inshallah. And loving a person is a good sign, inshallah. It's not a certain sign, because sometimes people could be wrong, but it's عَاجِلُ بُشْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It's a good sign. Because if Allah loves somebody, the hadith tells us, he calls over Jibreel and he says, I love Fulan, so love him. So Jibreel goes and announces in the heavens to the angels, Allah loves Fulan, so love him. So the angels love Fulan as well. And then you'll find that this person, ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This person will be loved and accepted. And this is mentioned in the Quran as well. The last verse he mentions here, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. For them is good news in this life of this world and in the hereafter. تِلْكَ عَاجِلُ بُشْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. This is not from Riyah. So that's why he mentions it here, by the way. So you see, there's a lot of fiqh in the way that Imam Nawawi organized this book. So you see, he connects the Qur'an with hadith. And then he mentions different hadiths alongside each other that we could take principles about that subject. Today the subject was about ikhlas. We learned a lot of principles. In fact, in your notes, if you were to put a special section, principles learned from this section, you'll find that each hadith gives us a certain principle. One hadith tells us, for example, that sincerity allows the person to continue to gain reward even when he's unable to do good deeds anymore for other reasons. That's one principle we learned from the hadiths. Loving being praised does not equate to riya. That's something else. Another principle we learned from these hadiths is what? Riya is a source of invalidation of deeds. Butlan al-a'mal bisabab al-riya. And the gift of thabat comes from the blessings of sincerity. And there's other principles. And throughout what we mentioned, each hadith teaches us a principle about sincerity that we should be all aware of. Now, there are 8 minutes left until Salat al-Isha. And if you didn't notice, there is a Slido that was shared in the WhatsApp group, and it has questions. It gives you the opportunity to ask questions over there. I'm going to look at it right now to see if any questions were asked. So the first question that we have here, are all the hadiths strong in their chains? Now, if you're talking about all the hadiths that we just read today in this section, generally speaking, The hadiths in Riyadh al-Salihin are accepted, are taken from Jumlat al-Maqbool. They're taken from accepted sources. And in fact, you could find this in the end of each hadith. So for example, the last hadith was in Sahih Muslim. The one before it is in Sahih Muslim. The one before it is also in Sahih Muslim. The one before it is in Bukhari and Muslim. So he's selecting from these authentic sources, hadiths that you could benefit from. So generally speaking, the hadiths in Riyadh al-Salihin are accepted hadiths. And he mentions the original reference in them all as well. Right? All right. So here, do intentions need to be felt deeply in your heart, or is verbalizing simply sufficient even if we don't really feel the sincerity? Now, look, don't look for a feeling. Don't look for a certain feeling. Like, you know, crying doesn't necessarily mean you're sincere, right? You should not be trying to force a cry, for example. No. So, you know, you could be someone who never cries, yet you're the most sincere of human beings. Sincerity is not something that an angel, that a human being could lay eyes on, right? Right? It's not something that people see with their eyes, right? You could see the effects of sincerity, like certain indicators, there are certain signs. However, when you see a human being, you can't say, oh, Allah, mukhlas, mura'i, okay. No, actually, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous to say what is in people's hearts, especially when you're talking negatively, right? So if you think that someone's a mura'i, a show-off, one of the salaf, he said, I was denied qiyam al-layl for 6 months because I saw a man crying in the masjid and I said, this person's showing off, right? So when I doubted that intent, that's a bad thing, it's an awful thing to do. Be very careful. But the same thing, so don't look for a feeling. Some people try to force a feeling. I feel like I need to cry in order for me to feel the sincerity. La, la, la. Sometimes you will cry and you will not be sincere. Right? It's possible that someone could to cry a whole lot, yet there's no ikhlas in the heart. Sincerity is not crying. That's not what it is. So don't look for a feeling, right? In fact, you will find that this feeling of sincerity will grow with time. One of the salaf, he said, I struggled with my intention for 20 years and until I felt a sense of strength and I felt like I could control my intention. 20 years of jihad and nafs until he felt a lot better in controlling his intention. All right. There's another question here. Intrusive thoughts. Here's the punishment for sincerity and thinks, I should live a recluse and not interact with others. Any thoughts? Should you avoid interacting with others because you're afraid of not being sincere? No, this is a waswasa. Don't pay attention to these intrusive thoughts. Rather, you will need to struggle. Yeah, in the beginning of the struggle, I'm going to find every single thing pull at me to have all the wrong intentions. It's going to be very difficult for me to have the good intentions. But with jihad in nafs, it'll become easier and easier to have that. And I'm always going to win some, I'm going to lose some. You know, this intention thing is something that is always going up and down. And that's part of the sweetness of it. You know, no one has full control like that from us, unless you're talking about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How should we react to praise in order to avoid insincerity? Look, there's something, pay attention to this question. There's something you could say to yourself when someone praises you. Allahumma ij'alni khayra mimma yadhunnun waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, make me better than what they assume of me and forgive me for the many things they don't know about me. Whenever someone praises you, remind yourself of the flaws that you know of yourself that they don't know. If they knew these flaws, they wouldn't praise you anymore, right? Allahumma ij'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun waghfir li ma la ya'lamun, right? So this is so in the first hadith he mentions Hanafi school differentiated between niyya in maqasid and wasail and said it's a condition in the latter. Can you elaborate, right? So he mentions that the Hanafi school differentiated between niyya in maqasid and in wasail. So I don't know where he said that. I would need to go back to where he said that. So he says, the Shafi'i said, intention is a condition for both actions, which are the means, such as ablution, and for actions, which are the end. maqasid, such as prayer. The Hanafi said intention is a condition only for actions which are the end, not for actions which are the means. Okay, so wudu, is that a means or an end? It is a means. To what? Salah. So they said intention in wudu, is that required? No. According to the Hanafi, no. Why? It is a means. But intention in salah, is that required? Yes. Why? Because it is maqasid. It is something that is sought in itself. That's what he means when he says that. Wallahu a'lam. Can you list the last level of intent again, please? So we said that we have al-hajis, wal-khatir, wa-hadith al-nafs, wal-ham, wal-azm. These are the five levels. I'll say them in English again. Hajis is something that is like a fleeting thought. It just comes in and doesn't even, you don't consider it. Khatir is something you give minimal consideration. You just ponder it. Hadith al-nafs is something that you're considering. You're giving thought to. But you still aren't inclined anyway. Right? Ham is something you're inclined to do. Azm is something you set your heart to doing. These are the five levels of intent. Inshallah, we're going to stand for salah soon. Just a few more questions. Would it be appropriate to say the root of actions are the intentions, since the truth has to manifest itself? It will be made apparent in this world or the next, right? So the root of actions is the intention. Yes, that's correct to say that. That's correct. What do you mean that without intention, good deeds will count but not as a reward? What does it count as then? What do you mean that without intention? I meant this as fiqh, in fiqh, right? What we just said. So the Hanafi school said you don't have to have intentions for wudu to count. Meaning that if you wash your whole body, you take a shower, and now you say, oh, I'm going to pray dhuhr. Can you go ahead and pray dhuhr? According to the Hanafi school, they say yes. But you won't get the rewards for doing wudu because you didn't have the intention. But you don't need to do wudu again. Khalas, it counts. But if you want the reward, yeah, do it again. Yeah, that's what we meant when we said that. But the Shafi'i school said, no, you took a shower, can I go ahead and pray? Nope, you didn't make wudu. Why? I didn't have the intention. That's what the Shafi'i school says. Anyone have any last question before we stand for adhan and then salah? Yes. This is a different subject. Sheikh, yani? So if you make wudu with wiping on your socks, you should make sure that your entire wudu is valid according to the Hanbali madhab to avoid talfiq. Yeah, so you don't mix and match. So you don't be following hawa. So you should make sure that the way... So for example, what's required in wudu according to the Hanbali madhab? Washing your ears, rinsing your mouth, blowing your nose. These are required according to them. The other ones, they say this is recommended. But they're the only ones who allow wiping on the socks. So don't mix and match. Make sure you do all those actions when you wipe your socks. Anyone has a question relating to the section on the virtues of sincerity before we stand for salah? Okay. You have a question? Azm al-umur? The azm al-umur means the best of actions. The azm means in that situation means like the most ideal situations, the better things you could do. No, azm, as we said in the beginning part of the class that you weren't here for, azm is when khalas, I have set my heart, I'm going to do this, I want to do this, right? So, and we said azm, you will get good deeds for doing it, for having that azm, and you'll get bad deeds for having that azm too. And we gave the example, someone who wants to go to a haram relationship, and they make all the preparations, and they try to get there, and they get so bothered, they wanted to do it, but it didn't happen, right? So they were going to get sins for this, even because they didn't do it because they couldn't, but they really wanted to. They will get sins for azm. Right, you got it? All right, jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Next week, we're going to do the next section, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in the book. So looking forward to seeing you guys there. The next section is about tawbah. The next section is about tawbah. Jazakum Allah khair. Let's get the prayer hall ready for salah. So if we have brothers and sisters, pick up the chairs and tables, move the barrier, the divider to the end over there. Jazakum Allah khair. Tafaddal. Hada.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استقيم ويرحمني يرحمكم الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين